Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, Sun Guy here with you on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes if you're looking for some professional wrestling in the next couple of days. WCWO running tonight in Indianapolis, Indiana. Also in Indianapolis, Ring of Honor tonight. FLPW in Williston, North Dakota. KPW in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. RPW in Port St. Lucie, Florida. IWE in Buxton, Maine. Brew City Wrestling in West Allis, Wisconsin. Future Stars of Wrestling tonight in Las Vegas, Nevada. Tomorrow night, Swag in Henry, Tennessee. Smash versus CZW in Toronto, Ontario. ECCW in Vancouver, British Columbia. AOW in 29 Palms, California. ACW in Newport Richie, Florida. APW in Berwyn, Illinois. Chicago Style Wrestling in Chicago, Illinois. PWB in Joliet, Illinois. New Wave Pro in Terre Haute, Indiana. Voodoo Wrestling in West Wego, Louisiana. WWA in Central City, Kentucky. NOW in Irvine, Kentucky. CRW in West Mifflin, Pennsylvania. UEW in Eastridge, Tennessee. XWA in West Warwick, Rhode Island. NWA SAW in Lebanon, Tennessee. UPW in Gladstone, Michigan. And the IWF running tomorrow in Nutley, New Jersey. A couple of birthday shout-outs today. The late, great Tommy Gilbert would have been celebrating his 76th birthday, so happy birthday up to him and the big ring in the sky. And it's Mama Sun Guy's birthday, so if you're Donnie Idol, don't forget to send happy birthday to my mom, as usual. And also a big announcement today, we will be replaying the shows on 88.3 KWIS in Plummer, Idaho. So if you're in the Plummer, Idaho area, you can catch us on the big radio station there, 88.3. So definitely check us out if you're in that region. Without further ado, our guest today from NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, we have with us Darkness. Darkness, thanks for taking time to be with us here on Sun Guy's Wrestling Show today.
Thank you for having me, Sun Guy.
Since this is your first time with us, you get the first-timer's question. What led you to get into professional wrestling?
It's something I'd always been interested in as a small child. I decided that it was enough physicality and enough destructive ability for me as a small child. So I decided to pursue it. I found my window, and I took it back in California.
Now, California is kind of a hotbed of wrestling training. A lot of famous trainers come out of there. You have Jesse Hernandez down there. The Ballard brothers are very reputable trainers. The UPW school, at least at one point, was an extremely fertile ground for training wrestlers. Do you think that coming out of California gave you a bit of a better head start than if you'd come out of some other region?
California, you're right. It is a hotbed. There was a lot of promotions when I was down there. I actually went to Jesse's school for maybe a month or two when I was younger, first starting out. And unfortunately, it was beyond my price range at the time in life, starting to hold down a job and all that good stuff. So I tried out there, and it was actually a really good experience for me, but unfortunately, I couldn't continue. Some years went by, and luckily enough, the area that I was in and the promotion that you just promoted and put a shout-out for, AOW, in 29 Palms, that's the promotion I first got my first start with. I was trained by Drake Fortune, along with the high-flying Steven Andrews, Blake Grayson, the American Oni, Eric Watts, Roscoe Tucker. Those are the people that brought me up and trained me. Luckily, I got the opportunity later in life when I was a little bit more financially stable and was able to pursue my dream of becoming a professional wrestler.
Beautiful. Down there in California, as your smaller high flyer wrestlers, which is opposite from yourself, do you think that what's that?
No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you think that coming out of a promotion that features a bit of the smaller guys with more of an aerial attack gave you a better sense of what wrestling was rather than if you were in a big man's company fighting just other big men?
I was one of the bigger guys there, and it was kind of an eye-opening experience because a lot of the people had come up and learned the style of lucha as well. So it was interesting for me when I was training. You have to learn how to take lucha, and you have to learn how to give lucha. So it's still a little confusing for me at times. I'll switch. And it's just because of the area with the high flyers. They come out from all over the place down there, and we're so close to Mexico that a lot of them are taught switch. So I'm not climbing the top rope much and, hitting hurricanranas or anything, but I know how to take them and I know how to reverse them because of my time there and because of the generalization of high flyers being what that company has the majority of.
Now, you came up to Oregon several months ago. What led you to go from California up to Oregon and in particular seek out NWA Blue Collar Wrestling?
Well, Blue Collar Wrestling was pointed out to me by actually the champion right now of the NWA Pacific Northwest until this Sunday, Bad Blood. He had wrestled down in AOW numerous times, and I was relocating. I was in the middle of relocating, and he remembered me, and we had talked a couple of times in the locker rooms and stuff like that, and he got me the opportunity. And there was actually my first week with BCW. It was a bunch of AOW guys, and we had all come out from California. I had actually moved out from California, so it was kind of a homecoming for all the guys that I knew and started out with, along with Bad Blood and the whole new locker room of BCW at the time. So it was relocating. I just got tired of the hot desert, got tired of California, decided to come up where it's a little darker, a little more rain, and a little colder.
It is definitely all of that. How would you compare the wrestling scene in general from California to Oregon?
The wrestling scene in California, from what I experienced, it was a lot of just a lot of people, a lot. Everyone, I mean, you go to different promotions, there's an entirely different locker room of people you've never seen. Up in Portland, where I'm at now, it's the same handful of guys, and you can start building and establishing relationships with them, figuring out, how they work and everything like that. California, it was somebody new every time, and there were so many promotions going on that you would kind of eat away at one promotion was having a show one night, but another promotion just down the way, and not very far, was having a show as well. So nobody could really could really shine for a night because there was so much competition in the market. And here in Portland, it's an occasional overlapping. But for the majority of it, our biggest competition is when they have a pay-per-view at the big company. So that's why it's a little bit different for us here. I mean, we have more wrestlers established in the locker room and less competition on a nightly basis.
Now, California versus Washington, what would you say is the difference as far as what the fans react to, if there's anything? Is there a different style that they react to, or different types of wrestlers that they react to differently from one state to the other?
I found in California they do like the high-flying. They like that a lot more. Here in Portland, it's kind of a big man's area. They like the devastating moves. They like the big guys kind of throwing around the little guys and destroying them. And we get a lot of repeat customers. We have our regulars. We have the people that we see week in and week out here. And in California, it seems almost like a revolving door of fans. There is a couple that are regulars, but for the most part, it's a new venue, a new place, and a new crowd almost every time.
Since you've been coming to NWA Blue Collar, you have come out with a skull that resides in a box. What's the story on the skull? Because it creeps a lot of people out. Tex Thompson on Turnbuckle Turmoil confirmed it really creeps him out.
This skull is the voice of reason. That's what I get my direction from. And as far as what it is and what it means, you just got to keep waiting because I'm not ready to let it out yet. I had to put the skull in a box because people started going after it. The voice of reason, it gives me my inspiration. Everything I do in that ring is for the voice of reason. When I hurt somebody, the voice of reason praises me and lets me know that I'm doing a good job. And early on with BCW, when I had the voice of reason with me and it was just me, they decided to go ahead and try and take the voice of reason away from me. So I had to employ Minion and the box and keep it away from the people that would try to harm the voice of reason.
When you're looking to have someone protect that skull and make sure the skull's not attacked or stolen, how do you search out someone like Minion? Did you put an ad up on Craigslist saying, I need a Minion for protecting a skull on a weekly basis? How do you go through that process?
No, it's not an open casting call for a Minion. It has to be somebody trustworthy that I can still control myself. We don't want anybody getting any ideas of their own, especially when they have one of the most precious things to me right there in their hands week in and week out. I'm not going to put an ad out on Craigslist for something of that importance. I found him. I trained him. I instructed him. He is my minion, and he is a protector of the voice of reason while I'm in that ring.
Now, Minion was responsible in part for one of the most heinous acts ever witnessed at NWA Blue Collar. He was intimidating Paul Moonshine. Paul was distracted by Minion's actions. It led to him having what was at that point an undisclosed white powder thrown into his eyes. It was later revealed through toxicity reports to be baby powder, but that blindness temporarily led to Paul being pile-driven. He was nearly put out of the business. What are your thoughts on what happened to poor Paul Moonshine and his potent pile-driver perpetrated by Tommy Celsius?
The thing is that regardless of what Tommy Celsius capitalized on, we had had bad blood, so to speak, with the Moonshiners previous to that. Paul wanted to get involved and try and go after Minion. That's on him. What happened afterward, as devastating as it was, our hands are clean. He capitalized on something, on a situation that he needed to in order to get his point across. There was no collusion between us. And in fact, the faction is another thing that just runs wild through there. But we've avoided it so far this as it goes now. But Minion scaring Paw is par for the course. Anyone that's out there, as soon as they get close to the voice of reason, it's all the same. It freaks them out. It scares them. They think twice. That's all it's there for. Tommy Celsius capitalized on it and did what he did. That's all on them. That had nothing to do with either of us.
Now, you've had your troubles with the Moonshiners both before that incident as well as after it. What seems to be the deep-seated cause of this bad blood, if you will, between yourself and LB and JB Moonshine?
The funny thing is that there actually isn't really an issue with me and the Moonshiners. The issue comes with the Moonshiners holding on to those tag team belts. And at that time, Void and I were a team, and that's what you strive for when you're a team, is those tag team titles. The fact that the Moonshiners had them around their waist was the only reason that we continued to pursue them. And it's not that we need the belts. It's not that it's something that, you know, you look for in order to get more people to come to you. More victims will come my way. I don't have to seek them out anymore, because if I got the gold around my waist, they're coming to me. I don't have to chase anyone down anymore at that point. That's why I needed the tag team titles. That's why I wanted them, because I wanted to get more people coming for us so that I could punish them rather than people ducking me and not having the testicular fortitude, so to speak, to sit in the ring with me and go one-on-one.
Now, you brought up the tag team with Void, and that was a very dubious tag team. It wasn't something where the two of you sat in the bar one night and decided you'd like to try your hand at tag teaming. Why was it so important for you to want to team with Void, even against his wishes?
Plain and simple fact is, when I saw Void, when I fought Void multiple times, he had something in him. There was something there, something that I could capitalize on. He's got a mean, evil streak within him. And at the time, he was trying to bury it within him. He didn't want to be the way he used to be. He didn't want to be the evil Void of old. He wanted to try and turn over a new leaf. He wanted to try and be a favorite to the fans, and all it ever got him was ridicule by the fans. I just wanted to try and take what once was and make it whole again, and as a team, go through and destroy the entire locker room until we got what we wanted. That's why me and Void had the thing that we had. That's why I was so insistent about pursuing a tag team with him. Because below the surface of him trying to appease the fans and make them happy, he still has that evil within him. He still has that hatred and that brutality. It's still there within him. And I was just trying to unlock it. That was all I was trying to do with Void.
Void, of course, a singles wrestler the last several months of his career, but he was perhaps best known as a tag team wrestler. He really rose to prominence as one half of the team Hounds of Hell. Had you studied the Hounds of Hell when you were trying to determine who you would want to team with if you had a partner? Is that how you really got to be aware of Void?
Yeah, when I started with BCW, the day I started was one of the last times that he had wrestled before he had taken some time. And I had seen him in the locker room. And I did my research. I did my homework. I went through and I watched the tapes. And when he was with the Hounds of Hell, that was what I was trying to bring back out of him. That, like I said, the brutality and the just maiming his opponents with fire. It just all the things that he would implement with those matches, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted in a tag team partner. And out of the entire locker room, he was the best fit, whether he realizes it or not. He was the best fit for me in that locker room.
Now, one of the things that NWA Blue Collar occasionally puts on is women's wrestling. There's a few women that come into the company that wrestle matches. It's not a very large division at the moment. What do you think of the current state of women's wrestling at NWA Blue Collar? And do you think that yourself would ever want to team up with one of the women at NWA Blue Collar and perhaps bring in an intergender division?
I'm all for all of that. As long as there's someone in there that comes through there that's got the same mindset as me, it's got the same ideals about just wanting to get in that ring, scream, and just enjoy the pain that they inflict on somebody. So far, I haven't seen anyone like that. Am I open to it? Sure. I wouldn't be opposed to it. You know, the female of the species is actually the more vicious. So if we could get somebody through there that was, or possibly sway somebody in that direction, I would be all for it.
Hopefully she won't get irate at me for pointing this out, but in one of the darker times of Sunny Days' career, out surfaced Darkest Night. Just going to put that out there.
Sunny Days, Darkest Night. That's super interesting. I think I could... I guess I'd look into this one, actually. Thank you very much for that tip.
I'm just going to say it actually did happen. I'm not saying it could ever happen again, but at one point in her life, kind of surfaced.
It's good to know. Thank you.
Uh-oh. Well, there is a game we have on this show. This might be perfect for you. It's called Word Association. It's a bit of a psychological test. I'll throw out the names of some people that you likely have come across, and the first word or two that pops into your head to describe said person, that is your answer. Are you ready to play around?
Sure, I'm ready.
Emperor Void.
Untapped potential.
Eric Watts.
Monstrous and educational.
Steven Andrews.
High flyer, takes the punishment like a champ.
DeMarcus James.
He's another one I've tangled with, I would say. DeMarcus. Phenomenal. I like to watch him, and I like to fight him myself. So, yeah.
Chaz Taylor.
Let's see. One word. History. He's got a lot behind him, and he was able to teach me a lot of it.
Lone Star.
Lone Star. It's one of my early matches. Lone Star, I would say, I'd put honorable for Lone Star.
Bob Hardy.
One more time?
Bob Hardy.
Bob Hardy. I'm not sure what to say on that one.
I'm sure he'll give you some ideas on Sunday. Aries Toretto.
Aries. I like Aries. He's got an attitude. Not evil, but he's got an attitude. I like it. I've fought him a couple times. Yeah. He's not bad. I like him.
Sarge.
Sarge. he's got his hands full with Butcher, doesn't he? I don't know. Something about Sarge. Patient. He's got to be patient to deal with Butcher. So I'm going to say patient.
Tommy Celsius.
Tommy Celsius. I don't know. For Tommy, he comes off as kind of goofy. Maybe not playing with a full deck. But I think it's a ploy. I think he knows exactly what he's doing in that ring. One word, Tommy Celsius, conniving, I think I would say.
T-Rex.
T-Rex. He's been my ref for many matches. T-Rex, I would say, I don't know. What would I say for T-Rex? tenacious. He's in there every week, and he's just getting the job done. I'd say tenacious.
Gresham Savior, Buddy Highway.
Buddy Highway. I've tangled with him a few times. I've seen him go back and forth from fighting the faction to being a part of the faction. But I'm going to give him his due and say Savior.
C.J. Edwards.
C.J. I still remember fighting C.J. in a battle royal, cheap-shotting me and throwing me over. I got no ill will towards C.J., so I would say he's right in the same ballpark as DeMarcus with phenomenal, but I'll give him a different word. I'll just say Ariel. And not the Little Mermaid. I mean, like, coming off of the top rope and just hitting you from every angle.
Roy Lovejoy.
Where is Roy Lovejoy? I haven't seen him in BCW for a while, but he always gave me some of the best ring entrances. I'd say Showman. So, Roy Lovejoy, the Showman.
The last one. Fawn Fierce.
Fawn Fierce. Well, if there was ever, like you said and alluded to before, a female in the locker room that could possibly be turned, I'd give it to her. And I would say possibilities.
Interesting.
I'd say if there is some there for her, yes.
Well, speaking of ladies, we have been joined by my women's expert who is filling in for QT Vokes, Ms. Cameron Starr.
Hi, does that mean I get to ask all the weird questions?
Yes.
So I don't have to make sense. Yay! That's the rule, right? If you fill in for QT, you've got to ask, like, what about a track team in 1972?
That is his passion, but, you know, I will let you handle it how you would like to handle it.
You think I have a handle on it? That's adorable. were you, Pacific Northwest people, thinking I got a handle on things. I joined you right when he said Buddy Highway, so I happen to know that guy.
That is true. I have come across him recently.
Yeah, odd duck. Felt like odd ducks.
Was that an Oregon reference because Oregon is the ducks?
Well, no. I heard that the Oregon motto was keep it weird.
True.
I don't know. I've never been out that way.
Also true, despite being multi-time Pacific Northwest Ladies Champion.
Yeah, that's true, but I've never set foot in the Pacific Northwest. We're talking about the Pacific Northwest at the Circle City Wrestling Show. And they said that I could just come and clean house.
Absolutely. I will put darkness into your capable hands.
Darkness into my capable hands. Hello.
Hello.
Flying Guy sent me a clip, so I watched. Now I'm big familiar. Apparently, you, like myself, prefer to do what you need to win. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair.
Is that something that you enjoy more? Is kind of whatever it takes, or do you think slapping hands and signing autographs and being everybody's favorite person is the way to go?
To be honest, as long as I can hear somebody scream in pain, that's pretty much what I go for. If it means I win, that's just icing on the cake. If I don't win, as long as they're limping out of the ring or trying to see out of their eye or, you know, something like that, then my job's done.
So you are like me. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Yes.
See, thought I'd be hard to get along with. Yeah. So, in your perfect world, what would be the match you'd want to do the most? Anything you want.
What would be what? No, I'm sorry.
The match you want to do the most. Opponent, style, whatever you want. Sky's the limit, Magic Genie.
Wow, let's see. Sky's the limit, total fantasy world. I would like to team with The Undertaker. Just, you know, inspirational as a child, you know, stuff like that. That's when I first learned that, you know, I might have some issues when he originally came out in the Survivor Series. And I was cheering for him while the rest of my family was looking at me like there was something wrong. So, yeah. In a more realistic world, I'd like to do a casket match with Gangrel. He's come through a couple of the areas I've been in. I've talked to him a few times in a few locker rooms. I think that would be fun.
I've done a casket match. They're interesting.
Yeah.
Say the
yes,
least.
They are.
Yes, they are. Yeah. So much can go awry. Well, that one's supposed to happen. Well, could. All right. So, what is probably the least favorite match you've ever had? You don't have to name names. You can just allude to it. I know I can get people in trouble.
Least favorite. Let's see. There was a match I had where I had gotten my head pinned between the ring, the post, and somebody decided to take a chair and crack me upside the head between the post and the chair. So that was probably my least favorite moment.
Oh, cringeworthy. I love those. And, hey, this will be a good idea. When in the history of ever did you think it would be a good idea? It was fun. Yeah, it would have been fun unless you were me, right?
Exactly.
Would have been nice if there could have been a little extra receipt on the end of that, right? Oh, this is cute, huh? Well, let's try it on you, see how that feels. All righty. Think. So... knowing what you like and what you dislike, what's the one thing that you want people to talk about when they come to you? Like, what's the one thing that you want them to take away from your matches?
How did he come up with such, innovative ways to torture his opponent? How did he come up with such different ways that I've never seen? Where did you come up with a way to twist somebody's arm that way? Where did you come up with some way that I didn't know legs bent that way? That's the kind of thing I want to hear.
What you going for? What is wrong with you?
I get that a lot, too.
Me, too. Frequently. I don't know. I always just say I wasn't hugged enough as a child, or too much. Depends on the audience. Where would you most like to travel to wrestle?
Where was what again?
Where would you most like to travel? Just have like a little working wrestle vacation.
Oh, let's see. I'd like to give a shot over to Japan. It just seems like it would be a culture shock for me. And it would it'd be interesting to see how they handled everything as far as a business goes with wrestling. And I know it's open and a lot of people have traveled that direction. They all come back with great stories. So I think that one would be probably most fun for me.
Yeah, and then it's not too bad to look at, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people say it's like, oh, you live in this country and it's, you know, an instant you go someplace like Japan or China or even into Europe. It's centuries old.
A lot older history than anything here in the States.
And I always say, well, I'm 5'7". I'm going to be a giant. Yes.
Yeah.
I will be a giant among men. Maybe, and don't go in the winter. I don't think that'd be too fun, but I don't know how Pacific Northwest winters are, but I know how Midwest winters are, so I can only imagine how Asian winters are. Ooh, pass. Trying to think. It's easy when I don't know anything about you, because then I can ask just about anything. Okay. Tell your best road story, like best anything, like going to a show, at the show, or after, like funny or otherwise.
Best road story. Let's see. It's kind of strange because I haven't had many travel stories, but we left the desert, Palm Desert area from AOW to wrestle up north in Northern California in a place called Turlock, California, affectionately referred to by Dexter Milhouse as Turdlock. That was, oh my gosh, I think it was 6-7 hour drive.
Ooh, yeah.
And yeah, and being stuck in a truck for 7-8 hours with a bunch of wrestlers, it got a little bit insane. So we got to the venue, we did the show, and then we went back to the hotel room and just proceeded to drink and wander around the area. There wasn't much in the area, but a bunch of drunken wrestlers stumbling into an AM/PM Quick Mart late in the night. It's always interesting to see everyone's reaction to that.
Hey, buddy. I once did a road trip where we did 11 U-turns before we got there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, getting lost is always fun.
The old days before there was GPS.
Oh, yeah.
Turn out West
six
Virginia.
Pages and highlight it.
Yeah, and the one turn that we needed was like an absent road sign. And then the road signs in general, the the highways are inside a circle, but the circle's less than 2 inches around. Well, let me just get my binoculars out so I don't miss this turn.
Nice.
Have you ever had the torture of having whoever you work with that night in the car and you have, like, the worst match you've probably ever had in your life? And then they ask you how it was in the car. Because if you haven't, everyone should experience that.
Yeah,
super uncomfortable.
Usually when I do wrestle, I'm real close to home. So
yeah.
I haven't run into that one yet, but, you know.
Oh, just know that it gets real fun.
It.
No, it's super duper uncomfortable. I was the driver, and the girl that I worked with asked me, and it was horrible. And there was this silence that fell over the car. I let her have it, and then she was quiet the rest of the ride home. It's good for me. I don't want to talk to her. Just so you know, this is best to be honest. Like, oh, man, it wasn't bad. No, because then you'd be like, bullshit. You mad at yourself. I'm well known for my honesty. It doesn't make me a lot of friends, but you always know what I think. So we asked your crew who you were tight with. What would they say is the thing that defines you the most? I said, mine's honesty.
One more time, I'm sorry. Getting some cut out here.
You're fine. It happens all the time. So what was the thing that your buddies and your closest people would say is the trait that defines you?
Trait that defines me. I don't know. That's a tough one. Yeah, I'm just sitting here contemplating. I know that doesn't make for great radio, but
well, that's what I'm for all the gaps.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It's being relatively new to the business, coming in with fresh eyes on certain things, and being a fan forever and having an idea of how things go and presenting ideas and stuff like that. It gets you recognized because you're kind of thinking out of the box because you haven't been going through the same old motions over and over and over again for so many years. But being able to come up with fresh ideas and present them, even though if 10 of them get shot down out of the 14 that you throw out, there's still four in there that they're like, that's not bad, but we'll work on it. So it's one of those things I kind of enjoy, just coming up with as many crazy ideas as possible and presenting them and, you know, seeing how it goes over with the rest of the locker room.
You never know what'll work.
Yeah.
Never been kind, somebody suggested something, and I looked at them like, that is the stupidest thing I have heard uttered by a human being. Let's try that.
Yeah, exactly.
That is just so dumb. It might work. We're going to go with it.
Yep. That's so crazy, it might work, is one of my favorite phrases.
That's so crazy. It just might work. But the worst is going to happen. It's going to fail. See, you were a fan of wrestling, whereas when I came in, I never watched wrestling at all. Not one bit. I once uttered the phrase, who's Ric Flair? That won me a lot of friends, let me tell you. I got very odd looks. I didn't know. I just, like, committed, like, one of the near unforgivable sins in all of professional wrestling. I learned real quick, though, for the record. I watched hours and hours of tapes. And for those kids who don't know what tapes are, it's that thing that your grandma has, or it's that big box, and you have to push it in. It's got to be on channel 3. You push play. I think that's what's frustrating for me, is when somebody's like, well, YouTube, I don't know, I have tapes, man. Tapes, you know what that is?
Yes. When I was a kid, I had a web page dedicated to trading tapes through the internet and through the mail. So I'm right there with you. I know how that is.
It's always weird, though, when you mention some form of technology and they look at you like you're crazy. You're like, no, this is a real thing, I promise.
Yeah.
We used to have to lug camcorders that weighed 20 pounds. We couldn't just record it on our phones and post it to YouTube.
It is quite amazing.
It worked really hard. I started wrestling in 2001. You saw it work really hard to put your stuff online. Like getting digital cameras that you could hook right into your desktop. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Revolutionized it even better. Oh, everybody got a smartphone? Boom. Got a YouTube app right there. Holy crap.
YouTube has pretty much redefined the wrestling. Watching tapes, watching, you don't have to sit and wait for somebody to have something that you can sit around and wait even longer to get in the mail. Just look up on YouTube and there it is. Pretty much any wrestler at any time is up there. It's nice in a way, but it's different.
There is a plethora of great stuff out there, and then there's all the bad stuff. Frankly, when I'm having a bad day, I like to watch all the bad stuff just because I need a really good laugh.
Yes. And there is some bad stuff out there. Oh, my God.
You just go, how the hell did that even happen? I've seen some things and just been like, what? I'm so confused. I'm going to watch that again. Let me scrub backwards because I need to see how bad that was actually. Oh, God, it was terrible. Just the stupidest stuff ever. It's like, on the upside, like, people just getting into wrestling now don't realize how easy they have it to look up stuff like old Japanese footage or old NWA or IWA stuff. Back in the day, that was hard. You had to wait and hope somebody had it and hope that the tape was in good condition.
Yeah. You get some footage that was almost impossible to watch some things because it had been recorded and dubbed and dubbed and dubbed and it just degenerated to blobs on the screen. But you could hear the commentary, so it was okay.
So it was fine. That's what you needed because you could envision the rest of it.
Yeah. A lot of it was like up to your own interpretation.
Or when not everybody in the world had a shoot interview released. Those are fun times. Those were like so few and far between, and those are like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that. Now they're just everywhere. It's like, do you ever see some of these shoot interviews and think, who the hell is this person? And why does anybody care? I've seen those, and I'm like, who gives a damn? Shut up. And I'm sure people say that about my opinion, but that I don't go around putting video on and going, oh, this is what I think, that everyone needs to listen to me. I ain't that guy. Close. See? Oh, I've been told I have girls with old vet talk where I'm like, damn kids, they. I don't know. I just can't do, like, where they run around and do the spot monkey matches where it's like, all that stuff you just did was great. That would take me literally 3 matches to do all of that. And I still wouldn't do all of it. You guys are stupid. I'll be over here being able to walk when I'm 50. Oh, it's terrible. I'm terrible. I can't hear it. Oh, I got one.
Okay,
this is fantasy land. If there was a move that you wish you could always do, what would it be? I wish I could do moonsaults.
You know what? That was exactly what I was going to say. It's, I don't have to do a full-on moonsault. I could watch Bam Bam Bigelow because we're about the same size, I'd say, maybe. And
I could do that
doing
one.
That kind of, yeah, maybe that one I would like to do. I tried it once. And landed pretty much on my head. So I haven't touched it since. But of the obtainable moves that I could one day possibly do, that would be the one I would love to try and actually land. So
you don't want to have a Lesnar moment?
Yeah.
And what's sad is everybody knows what I'm talking about. You went, oh, yeah. It's like, oh, no, that's sad. That would have been really cool.
Exactly.
Oh, no, don't do it. Oh. But you'll watch it on repeat.
Yeah.
Again, like, oh, turn it back. Oh, God, that's awful. Let's watch it again. Let's pause it right when his face hits the mat and crushes. Yay. Why did we do that?
Yeah.
That's horrible. Rewind it. I want to watch it again. Like, there used to be this YouTube series called I Wouldn't Take That. Some of the stupidest shit I've ever seen in my life. One of it was like this section of back fists from like a Josie show in Japan. The girl actually giving the back fist is now Asuka, which really wasn't what she went by in Japan. This girl wasn't really selling for her, and she gave her a shoot back fist, and you watch that girl's head just go forward and back. I'm like, fuck all that. No. I wish they were still out there. It was like, there was one entire series of Burning Hammer videos where they just dropping dudes on their heads.
No.
Like I said, I wish it was still out there. So it was so crazy, just stupid. No. I mean, it's fun to watch somebody else get their head knocked off. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one.
You're like, ooh, that looks horrible. From way over here, and that's where it's going to be, because no. Well, the person might go, oh, man, I'm going to give you this. I've done it a couple times. A couple? You're going to kick me in the face and I've done it a couple times? Yeah. Nope. Sidestepping that, friend. Give that a shot. I would think that's not a good plan. If the answer is less than 50. Oh, I started working out some training about 3 months ago. You still haven't done it? No, it's a work in progress. Then how about we don't? Why? Because I like my teeth.
At least all in one piece and in the same place. That would be, let's keep them where they are.
It's like, listen, see how I'm coming into this match? It's pretty much how I'd like to leave it. I don't want to be broken or have to save your dumb ass. I've hurt myself keeping others from getting hurt. Oh, have you never had that conversation on a car ride home where you jack your body up like you've pulled something and you're sore and somebody else is whining because their move didn't look so good, but you saved them from, like, seriously injuring themselves? Wait for that conversation. That's a fun one, too.
Yes.
As you're stuck in a car for 8 hours, listening to them whine because their cross body didn't look so great, but you kept them from basically being a long dart in the ring and breaking their neck. Yeah, you're welcome. You're about to look like shit because you can't do it. Yeah, I have all these really great warnings for mine's a cautionary sad tale of what the fuck was I thinking? That's what I'll probably entitle the end of my career when I talk about what the fuck was I thinking? 90% of the time. I can't help it. Most of people have always been as demented and off sense of humor. Because if I can't laugh at me, then I'm just a joke. If I can laugh at me, we're all good. Because I laugh first. I have a very small dog whining at me right now. Is that my fault? Let me think. Who would you say would be your favorite person to see at shows where you are working now?
Favorite person to see at the show?
Yes. I mean, work with, but just like, you love to see him in the locker room, you just love talking to him, or they're just fun to be around.
I always like it when Bad Blood's in our neighborhood. It's his home promotion. He's out all over the place defending the NWA championships. But when he's in there, it's a feeling of calm and a feeling of order. It's nice to see him when he's there. And it's becoming more and more infrequent, unfortunately, because he's all over the place, like I say, with the title defenses. But when he's there, it's always a good time. It kind of livens up the mood and lightens it a little bit as well.
How do I know it's the same people you know? It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit strange.
Glad he's talking to those people.
Silly NWA. By the way,
I'm right when I always say that the wrestling world is a very, very small place.
Hey, they're trying to, like, get me out that way. Rob's really pushing for me to go out to the Pacific Northwest.
Mm. Yeah. Right now it's kind of nice if you don't like it too cold, but the rain's always going, so that's nice, too.
Well, I like rain.
Well, plenty of it.
He always says I should move to Seattle because it rains 70% of the year. Like, you know why I like rain? Because everybody else in the world is miserable. And that makes my black little heart stick a beat in delight.
Yes. I like that. I like that way of thinking.
Yeah, think about it. When it's raining, nobody wants to make small talk. They just want to get where they're going, to their car and home. No one wants to hang out. The only problem is everybody forgets how to drive.
The best days at Disneyland when I was in California, our favorite days to go to Disneyland when it was pouring rain. All the parents would keep their kids inside. All the normal, regular people were smart enough to not try and go out and get colds, and there was nobody there. It was my favorite time to go.
See? That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's perfect.
See, I like rain, so I'll be fine.
Yep.
There's no sunlight for most of the year. Hallelujah, Jesus.
There you go.
There's one in the summer? No, there's a chance of sunlight. Send me in, like, April. I'm awful. Oh, the weird little world that is wrestling. Small and uncomfortable.
Yes.
Or, oh, it's this guy. God, I hate that guy. I gotta go. He even works in a very small locker room when there's someone that you just cannot stand. It's like, oh, good. Except me, I'm like, I know that bastard doesn't like me. I think I'm going to sit in my chair right next to his. Hey. I'm that guy. That's the enjoyment I get out of life. Because if I don't make something mildly uncomfortable, then I don't win. Because I'm going nowhere. They'll leave, though. I'm an awful person. I can't help it.
Well, we got just a little bit of time left, so I want to give Darkness a chance. If you got anything you want to say in closing, plug and promote, everything you've got, go for it.
Everything I got. Well, you can get my personal Facebook page for Darkness. It's www.facebook.com/darkness138. And this Sunday night is the big NWA BCW title tournament. I will be there on hand. I am not scheduled to be in a match, but you never know what I could come up with. That's at the North Eagles Lodge in Portland, Oregon. And are you going to be here for that one, Sangha? Are you going to be reffing for us?
I shall be.
Ah, good. So we got that going on, and every week, every Sunday, we have NWA BCW Sunday 6 bell time. This one coming up is a big one. This one's for the Pacific Northwest Championship NWA. Bad Blood had to vacate it because he got the Continental, and we got a tournament to see who's going to be crowned the champion after that. That's our big show coming up.
All right, Ms. Starr, would you like to plug and promote anything you got?
Well, I shall be returning to action in Marion, Indiana for ICW on February the 6th. And then we have our big NWA Circle City Wrestling Show on February 14th. Yes, Valentine's Day on Sunday, start time 6 p.m. And there will be a Bad Blood appearance. I know everybody's excited, but more importantly, I'll be there. Also, we have Kevin Thorne, Billy Gunn, and former WWE Women's Champion Jazz. so you can kind of put two and two together. But either way, it's going to be a really great show. If you're in the Indianapolis area, come check us out. Pretty awesome. Always a rocking time in the Turner Building.
All right, fans, you can check me out. I'll be there alongside Darkness, apparently. NWA Blue Collar on Sunday, 7611 North Exeter. Get out there, support your local independents, wherever you might have one near you. We'll be back with you this coming Sunday afternoon. We have the Bulldozer Matt Tremont with us. Should be excellent. So we'll talk to you Sunday afternoon.